You'd open in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 39 as we continue our reading. Reading together, Genesis chapter 39. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant. And he made him an overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. And it came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house, and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned, in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge. And with him there he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and it came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" And it came about, as she spoke to Joseph day after day, that he did not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought in a Hebrew to us to make sport of us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I screamed. And it came about when he heard that I raised my voice and screamed that he left his garment beside me and fled and went outside." So she left his garment beside her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with these words, "The Hebrew slave whom you brought to us came in to me to make sport of me, and it happened as I raised my voice and screamed that he left his garment beside me and fled outside." Now it came about when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, "This is what your slave did to me," that his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the jail. But the Lord was with Joseph, and extended kindness to him, and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. And the chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. So reads the Word of God. Genesis 39, 2 and 3. And the Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. We come to the reading concerning Joseph being put into jail in Egypt because he was not willing to sin against his master and against God. The key that we want to concentrate upon is the fact that God was with Joseph. It is this truth that is reiterated several times within our morning's passage and chapter. It was because God was with Joseph that he was put into the place of authority over all that Potiphar owned. Potiphar saw that Joseph was blessed because of the presence of the Lord. So he put him in the place in which those blessings would serve to bring Potiphar increased benefits as well. And Joseph was very conscientious in his dealings on Potiphar's behalf, because he would not do anything that would bring evil into that position of trust. He honored both God and Potiphar in the service of his master. Then, after being so faithful to his master, because of Potiphar's wife's false accusations, Joseph was put into jail. Since he would not succumb to the seduction and bring dishonor upon himself, Joseph suffered for many years in the dungeon of the king. But even in that place of imprisonment and abuse, we read that God was with Joseph and blessed him to the point of gaining the trust of the jailer. Genesis 39:21-23. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. And the chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Because God was with Joseph, even the chief jailer was blessed in the fact that he did not have to supervise anything that was put under Joseph's charge. Again, despite the ill treatment and the false accusations that landed him in that jail, Joseph was conscientious and was trustworthy in all his dealings before man and before God. God's presence with him sustained and kept Joseph through all those years of hardship and torment. This is something that we need to recognize with regard to the heart of Joseph. When we consider the facts with which we are presented, we see a young man, probably in his early teens, who was thrown into a deep hole by his brothers as they plotted to kill him. Then, they chose rather to make some money by selling him into slavery to get rid of him. Joseph was forcibly removed from his home and from his loved ones with the distinct probability that he would never see his father or his homeland again. Despite all of this, he held to the Lord and honored the Lord. Even when he was a slave in honoring Potiphar, he did it as unto the Lord. And then he was falsely accused and put into the king's jail. Despite all this ill treatment at such an early stage of life as a teenager, Joseph held true to his honorable principles. He did his very best before God and before men. This was no small task for Joseph. Yet because God was with him, and because he was so honoring to God, he was blessed in all that he did, even in his enslavement and in the midst of his undeserved imprisonment. There are several other examples that we will mention this morning. Men who knew the presence of God, and in whom that presence was seen by others. The first will be the prophet Samuel, as he began his ministry before the children of Israel. 1 Samuel 3:19-20. Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. Please note that because God was with him, he was recognized and confirmed as a true prophet. The Bible is very specific in the fact that because God was with Samuel, the Lord let none of his words fail. Samuel's credentials as the spokesman for God were seen by all the nation as the Lord went before Samuel and caused all that he said to be true. There was no doubt in any of the people that God was with Samuel in all his actions and his proclamations and his commitment in telling the people all that God desired. They may not have agreed with everything that Samuel declared, but they had to face the truth that what he said was made into reality by the very hand of God in action. The next example is that of David as the anointed king to replace Saul. 1 Samuel 18, 12 through 14. Now Saul was afraid of David, for the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and appointed him as his commander of 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David was prospering in all his ways, for the Lord was with him. It was evident, even to King Saul, that the Lord was with David. It was so manifest that Saul removed David from his presence because of the fact that the Lord had removed his presence from Saul. Again, as with Joseph, please note that the evidence of the Lord's presence with David was the fact that he prospered in all his ways. The Lord went before David and displayed his abiding presence with David. All that David did was blessed. It wasn't just Saul who could see that the Lord was with David. It was plainly obvious to all who saw the operation of God in his blessing of David's efforts and actions. The final example that we want to consider is that of King Hezekiah, as recounted in 2 Kings 18, 1 through 7. Please turn to it and follow along as we read 2 Kings 18, verses 1 through 7. Second Kings 18. Now it came about in the third year of Hosea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, became king. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the Ashereth. He also broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made, for until those days the sons of Israel burned incense to it, and it was called Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor among those who were before him. For he clung to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord had commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him. Wherever he went, he prospered. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. Again, we are witness of a relatively young man whose heart was wholly after the Lord. Hezekiah loved the Lord and wanted to please him in all his ways. As we read, he trusted the Lord, for he clung to the Lord. He did not depart from following him. Hezekiah was truly committed to the Lord to do all that God commanded. The Holy Spirit, in his inspiration of the writer of this book, made a tremendous declaration about Hezekiah, which could be easily overlooked. So that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor among those who were before him. This is a most telling and authoritative assertion and pronouncement from God himself upon this young king who was after God's heart and companionship. Again, we read that as with Joseph and David, and the Lord was with him, wherever he went, he prospered. It was even to the point that the Lord delivered Judah from the king of Assyria through the rule of Hezekiah. What a great example for each of us to so love the Lord that we cling to him and trust him in all things for the sake of knowing his presence with us. Please realize, as we have so considered each of these examples, we do this not for the sake of getting blessed and becoming prosperous. That was the requisite effect of the presence of God being with each of these men. But that is not why we are to so cling to and to desire to know the immediate reality that God is with us. Our heart is to seek to know the abiding presence of God in our lives for the sake of His pleasure and His glory to be more fully expressed in this whole of creation. We are to want to so bless God for His sake that we cannot but know that He is with us in Jesus Christ. It is an absolute truth that we are in the immediate presence of God as we are in Jesus and He is in us. The sad aspect of this, however, is that we do not always want to know God in this intimate way. As well, we often turn our backs on God because we want other things of this realm rather than to know the obedience and the relationship of honoring God at all times. Unlike Joseph, who would not compromise himself with the tempting seduction of Potiphar's wife, we often give in and are party to breaking our marriage vow to God as His bride. We practice dishonor and adultery and all sorts of evil activities before the very house of our husband. Rather than being fully committed to Him, we are selfishly devoted to anything and everything that seems to please us and our cravings and our habits. We cannot expect to recognize the presence of God with us when we are not looking after His interests and His pleasure in our lives. Despite our unfaithfulness, many of us are so audacious as to place the blame at the feet of God when things just seem to dissipate into nothingness and we do not receive the blessing and the satisfaction in life that we were created to find in Him. However, even in this turning from God, He has made every provision to draw us back unto himself. It is in the manifestation of his loving forgiveness as he accomplishes that which he always intended in his beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Even the Old Testament proclaims this mighty work of God in the lives of his people, as recounted by the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7, if you would turn to it, so we can read it together. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. But now, thus says the Lord your Creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. This is at the heart of why Joseph and Samuel and David and Hezekiah and you and me we're in the very heart of God from before even eternity began. We were all created for the glory of God to be manifested in the reality of His grace and His mercy, in which all the universe will have to acknowledge and give God all honor and praise for the great work which He has done in Jesus Christ. As His beloved saints, we can know as surely as did Joseph and Samuel, David and Hezekiah, and all the patriarchs of both the Old and the New Testament, that God is with us every moment of every day of every year of our earthly lives and for all the eternal ages to come. He is the one who gathers us together, and He is the one who pledges to always be with us. We may not know the blessing of earthly prosperity, but we do know and we do have the most important and vital blessing of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Our walk on this earth is to be the clarion proclamation that God is with us, and that we want to present before all of our loved ones and associates those lives that witness the abiding presence of the Lord God Almighty, even in this very present day. There is so much bemoaning in the modern day church that we have lost the blessing of God, as was evidenced in both the Old Testament providences of God and the New Testament miracles. Sadly, there are those whose eyes are blinded by self-seeking interests after personal gain and promotion. That was never the intent of the blessing of God upon His people, as we will consider next time, Lord willing, in our consideration of the presence of God with the saints in the New Testament. Please stand together in the prayer that we will always seek after that which is the heart of God alone and not ourselves. Our lives are a living sacrifice, as evident in the trials and the situations of even those whom we have considered this morning. When you consider what Joseph and Samuel and David and Hezekiah endured, their lives were not easy, but they did know the presence of God. There is nothing easy about being a Christian. It is all a matter of living before God in the manner in which His interests and His glory and His pleasure is all that our hearts ever desire. So be it. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. Amen.